I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting Kingdom of Ash, Part 1. Are you ready? So Part 1. We're breaking this up into two parts because this book is long.
It's very long.
It's very long.
900 pages in the hardcover, thereabouts? Let's see. 950. There's 950 pages in here. This is like one of the Outlander books. It's so hefty.
So I have the paperback and it's even bigger.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I know. Dude, look at the difference. So yours must be bigger then, because mine's not. Mine's almost 1,000 pages.
Yeah, mine's like 950. Actually, 984.
Oh, mine is two, but then...
So maybe they...
Why does mine look so much bigger?
It's very thin paper in this one, like compared to the other ones. So I think they went with thinner paper to make it smaller. Yeah. Anyway, it's... So that's good because then we have the same page references.
We do. And I'm also the proud owner of two copies because I didn't want to bring this giant book with me on the plane, right? Because that's a little daunting. And so I downloaded it on my Kindle.
I had them all as ebooks first before I started collecting them. And then I got all the hardcovers. Mm-hmm. And then I got all those mini ones.
Oh, that's right.
And I have all the audiobooks. So I have four of each one.
It's all good. The more the merrier. So.
But like they're all different formats. So now I'm like, you know, if I'm reading and then I have to go out, I switch over to the ebook. And then if I want to listen, I've been listening to the audiobook again. And so, you know, it's good. I like it. And I really like a series, I will collect it.
Yes. And I will say, honestly, having it on the Kindle made it very easy for me to highlight things. Like I was highlighting. That's the one thing I love about Kindle because I probably should do that. I don't know. I need a better annotation system, right, for my books. But with the Kindle, it's just like you like tap and then highlight.
You can highlight it. You can have different color highlights.
And it's super easy to just go back to it. You know, like in the one section. So I actually enjoy having it on my Kindle because, you know, we had a couple long car rides and I was able to just, you know, boop, boop, highlight, whatever, you know, and fly through it. So.
But you also have that beautiful trophy on your shelf.
I do. The old versions too, right?
Old version. Yeah, that's what I have too.
Those. Yeah. I really like these covers a lot.
Me too. So, and how about, so we've been talking about... Yeah, I was just going to say, we've been talking about the backs all along here.
Yours
I don't think
better. Mine has all the other.
Yeah, yours has a little overprint there. It's beautiful, but that's sort of like more towards the end of this book. So we'll get to that next time.
Yes.
But yeah, her on the front, that's kind of what we're dealing with right now. She is in her warrior phase 1000%.
Yeah. So this, I got to be honest, this, I mean, the beginning of this book is
hard. I totally agree. It takes a while because they're all separated, you know, there's all these different groups all over the place doing different things. We have we just came off of Tower of Dawn, so Kael and Irene are heading north now on a ship. They're bringing some of the armies from the Khagan.
I love all of them.
Oh, they're so cool. I really love them in Tower of Dawn.
I feel like that's where I would be. I feel like if I was in this world, I'd be there.
It's hot there.
Exactly.
Yeah, you would be there. You would be like, maybe, I don't know if you'd be in the desert with the silent assassins, but.
No, I'd be with
Sartak. On the water. Empress. You're going to kick Nezrin out of there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, my archery skills are definitely not like hers.
Give it some time.
That's where I would be. Exactly.
So we have them coming north. We have like Adion and Lysandra up sort of in the north area. We have Rowan with the cadre looking for Aelin. We have Aelin is still a captive with Maeve.
Yes.
So they're just all over the place. And sort Karen of as Kane? Yeah, name? Karen. It was Kane in Throne of Glass.
Yes.
And
I kept getting the
Cairn in this one.
Yeah. It's oddly a very similar name.
Mm. I know, for someone that torments her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Mm. So this whole part is about like getting them on the path to basically where we end up at the end of part one. And it's not, so it's not our arbitrary division. This is like in the book. So in the book, there's a part one and a part two. So we are doing part one of the book, which is a little more than half of the book on this one. And so by the end of this part, we have everybody on their way to the north for like final showdowns.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where we're at. So we pick it up with Aelin. So remember, like, if you've been reading this consecutively, we haven't seen her since the end of Empire of Storms when she was taken captive by Maeve. She got that iron mask put on. She was put in that iron box on the beach. Remember, Rowan got there just after and was like, where is my wife?
Yeah.
Which is like how we found out
they were
married. Yeah. And so he's just been a disaster. He's searching. He's with like with his cadre guys and a lead, and they have been searching. He is like almost mad. Like there's this, that the two little intro sections of this, the prince and the princess.
Yeah.
And so we kind of get where each of them are. And he is almost like, it says, you know, he wouldn't even have changed back to his fae form or probably have eaten or any of this stuff if he didn't have those companions with him. He just would have, he's almost mad with the need to find her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he knows that when he does find her, she's going to be with Maeve and he's going to need the strength of his buds to try to get her away. Yeah. So, but it's frustrating him to help to that this is all taking so long. He can't find her. Like he felt this tug once on the mating bond. And so like they using that to direct themselves, he's having these like recurrent dreams that are
like he knows she's not dead because that would be
senses enough.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And he's having this dream over and over again where there's like Aelin across like this chasm, which is described so interestingly, that dream with where she's like pregnant and then also has like several babies with her. Like
it's kids 59, with her. I think, right? Page 59. I just that's opened up to it. Yeah.
Yeah. His yeah. And it says children. There's a crack in the world that is between them. A great yawning chasm, crack in the world, which is very interesting, like descriptors for a book that talks about portals and world walking and all this stuff, right?
Yes.
And it's, but it's sort of like it's her, but in her in a few years is how he's seeing her, right? Yeah. And then they get ripped away from him over and over again in this dream. Yeah, it's just he's being tortured essentially in the sense of being away from her. Well, meanwhile, she's literally being tortured.
God, some and, of the,
oh, it's so awful.
It's so graphic. Like what? Yeah. I mean, we don't get like the full, but right. So she's being tortured and then sent. I remember I kept having to text you being like, wait, am I understanding this correctly? So she's being tortured brutally and then healers come in to heal her so that she can be.
And do it again.
Poor Fenris. Oh, I love him so much.
I love him too. He is just having to, he's again tortured, but in a different way. So he's, Maeve is using the blood oath to force him to watch what's happening to Aelin, but not be able to do anything. He can't even go pee in this to give him permission. Like he is forced to just sit there in his wolf form and watch. And so they created this like blink code.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I have
to be able to communicate.
Saved. And it's then so as lovely. We see it like later on too, because they're obviously both.
They still use it.
Once.
No.
Yeah. You know, and they, yes, they still, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, they're special. Well, as we know, yes. I mean, then things get.
Remember like books and books ago, we did that, like which fae is, would be yours or whatever from Throne of Glass. And I was like, oh, Fenris.
Yeah. And you were like, oh, just wait.
Yeah. Now you got it, right?
I do get it. Fenris Moonbeam.
So sweet. Fenris Moonbeam. What a hilarious revelation that was. Hey,
I feel like Fenris, I would love to see more of him in the future. Right. Cause even, I mean, we're not talking part two yet, but I feel like there's kind of like some unresolved with him. Do you know what I'm saying?
There's a few characters here that I'd love to see, like even novellas from.
Same.
After. Yeah.
And he's,
and
one
she
of
has
them.
Hinted that she might not be fully done with this.
I would
world.
Love that just because
it's like it's like, completed or is it?
Yeah. Or is it? Cause I feel like he had to sit there and watch her be tortured, which is like also brutal. And then she, Maeve, makes his twin kill himself right in front of him, which is,
and say awful things to him first, which who knows if he even meant that, because she was controlling him, right and then kill himself right in front of him. Like how tortured is Fenris now because of that,
right?
And then he has to serve and it's like in italics, like he has to attend Maeve. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. implications there are going mm-hmm. back reminds me of like Amaranthus. Amaranthus. Amarantha.
Amarantha.
Amaranthus is from Outlander. And Amarantha from ACOTAR.
That's a crossover.
So it's gross. It's like, yeah. We know he's that poor boy, man.
Yeah. But anyway, so
I need him to have a happy ending.
Me too.
So he is, so they're together.
Yes.
She is just, you've got exactly right that she's being tortured and healed over and over again. She's mm-hmm. trapped in iron, so she can't use her powers. Even like we know, you know, some of the ways that it's indicates what's been happening to her. She does talk about memories of like him digging into her until he hits bone, of bones breaking. Her hair is longer and it's like they couldn't remember what length it was. But like, why would that? That means that she lost her hair. So how? Like burned or,
right.
You know, torn off or something? Like what would you do that was torture to do with? And then also May's like doing like psychological warfare on her, like implanting all these thoughts and trying to get her to reveal where the word keys are, but presenting all these scenarios where she doesn't know what's real and what's not real. There's a little bit like Hunger Games, right? Real or not real?
Yeah, real or not real. Yeah.
And that's even one of their codes, that their blink codes.
Yes.
This is real. You are awake.
Yes. I have that one part, I think it starts on 119, where it's like her mom is talking to her.
Oh, the fire heart scene.
Fire heart. And then she's like, you do not yield, right? And then she starts like literally like punching.
Hitting the roof of the box.
Yes. And she just, you do not yield. You do not yield. Right? Like all
over
like,
and
she's
over
just like
over.
Slamming her hand. I'm just like
envisioning
this whole thing. Oh my
the
gosh.
Box and then just she's literally like pounding, like she was gonna break out of that iron box. It's like all bent at the end before mm-hmm. they get in there and put her to sleep with the Gloriella.
Right. And then she awakes and sees that, you know,
what she did.
She actually did to it, which
but it was amazing. That was good she did that, because while that was happening, she was sending out like these waves of power.
Yes.
And they felt it, like not just Rowan, like everybody, the fate around felt it. And they're like, oh, like even later where we find out from other characters, they're like, oh, that was Aelin of the wildfire.
Yeah.
But that's what tells them where she is. That's how they figure out she is actually in Doranel.
Yes. Yes.
And that leads them to find her. So they go to Doranel. Aelin, super brave, like walks into Doranel.
She does not, like Lorkin does not have it easy. With her.
He has some pretty big thing to make up for, because he was the one that
and
told Maeve where
like,
they were.
She gets nasty with him, you know, like
the stuff she says.
Wow, cool. This girl. Yeah. I mean, she really like is making him like work for it. You know what I mean? But I love that about her, because we see her as, you know, when we first meet her in whichever book it was. She's, you know, this like, well, we always knew she was very smart.
She was sort of putting on an act, but she did appear to be like meek. And remember, Manon was the one that like called her out on it. She's like, do you think I believe this? Like,
yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Played, and when they reunite, in this book. I know. We'll get there. But
Aelin and Lorkin. So like she's telling him, because he was in love with Maeve, right? Yes. And so there's that one scene where she asks him, like, I'm trying to figure out how you could love a monster. Mm-hmm. And then because then maybe I'll figure out how I did it.
Yes.
So like, that's the first time she's basically saying she loves him, but considers him a monster. And they actually have, I feel they might have the most love declarations of anybody else in this book. Like it goes back and forth. Marks like in that they are until they are declaring their love. It's like over and over again. Like page 432 where she sort of indirectly says it. Then 520, 524, 554. Like there are all these declarations back and forth. But eventually she does like give into it. You know, he is really trying to make up for letting Maeve know where Aelin was. And then I think it helps when they're sort of on the border of Terrasen. And or not, they're not even at Terrasen yet, but they're making their way north. Mm-hmm. And she's like, listen, dude, like, I can't trust you.
Yeah.
The only way you can continue to travel with us is if you take the blood oath to me, because I promise, like, I'm never going to give you commandment other than protect Harrison and don't harm its people. But I need to know that I can trust you. Right. And sort of the subtext there is that it might give him a chance with the lead, because he says to Aelin, he's like, there is no hope there. And she goes, there is.
I liked that part too. Yeah. She's like,
I like that during that whole scene when Fenris is like, if I tell him he's a prick and a miserable bastard to be around, will it change your mind? Like offering it to him. And Aelin's like, but isn't that why we love him?
Yeah. Yeah. I do. This is where I love Aelin so much, because she just like, although it's so sad, like once they do, I know we're not really like to that part yet, but once she does get out, like kind of going back and forth between that depressed, tortured soul that she is now, and also like putting on her normal,
her Aelin swagger.
That part was funny. Yeah.
And that's sort of towards the end of part one, where after she's had a lot of time to, it's their whole journey for the beginning bit. She is still making up the swagger, like putting it on a bit towards the end at the end of this part. But she has had some time. But so when Aelin goes in to Dornell and like pretends she's looking for care and she's just trying to get the info, they've planted this rumor that there's the collars to draw Maeve away, which works.
Yes.
And then she goes in there and she ends up finding Essar, who is a former lover of Rowan. Now, did you read the bonus chapter?
Chapter?
There's a bonus chapter for Heir of Fire. So when they were at Mistward, Rowan and Aelin, and there was three Fae that came to visit. There's been very brief mentions of it in the books, and this is one of the mentions. Okay. But it was a whole bonus chapter where these three Fae came there while they were doing that training, fighting each other kind of stage of things. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Rowan's former lover, and it totally got under Aelin's skin.
I didn't read that.
Oh. Yeah, it was one of the, you know how there's always like different bonuses depending where you buy your book? Like
You buy
the Target exclusive or the Walmart exclusive or B&N or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those. I read it online.
Man, you know what? I can probably Google it and I'll probably come.
You can go find it. There's a bunch of those. If you search like just Throne of Glass bonus chapters, there's different ones.
Oh, good to know. I really liked her though. And I liked how she kind of sought a lead out and was like, okay, no,
I'm gonna help you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then she's, Karen is a monster. You know, so
yes.
But yeah, I was a little concerned at that point. Like I didn't see that coming. You know, I was like, okay, I don't know. This could go a couple of ways. Like, and obviously this whole book, I swear, is like battle after battle after battle after battle. Like I can't even keep track of all of the battles at this point.
There's so much tension.
Yes, so much. So I'm like
even things that aren't like specifically a battle, but just like a confrontations.
Yes, yes. But so I like, I like SR. That was like a, I like, although, wait, no, it wasn't Rowan. She was involved with Lorcan.
Was it?
Yeah, it just said, that's what it says right here.
Well, then there was another one. There, sorry, I'm confusing them.
Or was SR with both?
I don't think so. But maybe there was, of the three Fae that came, maybe the other one.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Because she says Lorcan and I were involved for a time.
Okay.
Lorcan's so lover.
Sorry.
This delicate beauty with the bedroom voice had been Lorcan's lover. So, yes. Yeah. Okay. So another one was Rowan's. Interesting.
I'll have to go back and read that bonus chapter again, because
anyway,
it's been
on page
quite a while, but that's how I remembered it. One of them was Rowan's lover. So it must have been, I know there was three of them. I think it was one male and two females. So after they get the information from SR of where Karen might be, they're assuming that Aelin is where he is. And they think that that sort of falsehood that they put out there that about their being a caller, hopefully that has worked to draw Maeve out, because they tell her that she's not there in Dornell. So those guys, the cadre plus a lead, go together to like get Aelin out. Meanwhile, Aelin also heard about the callers, and so she is like, nope, that's it, that's last straw. It's a bit like what she did when she was in the in Endovir in the prison mines, remember? And she was like so done with it that she did that escape attempt and did not care if she died in the process, in fact, expected to.
Yeah, doesn't this she is, say that at one point too to Rowan?
Yes.
That, like, it wasn't like she was trying to escape. She just
wanted to end it.
Yeah.
So this is like the same thing. So she's like, there's no way that I'm going to let her come back here and put one of those collars on me. So I'm going to fight with everything I have now. And if I die, I die. Yeah. Like, that's it. She feels very desolate that like Rowan isn't coming for her, is never going to find her.
That's a good way of explaining it. Yeah. She's basically like lost all hope, I feel. Yes. But then has, I feel like then she kind of gets that right. Like as we had said, you know, her mom appears to her like that. You do not yield. But
right.
It's like, it's so emotional. Do you know what I mean? It's
like she's, there's that.
Yeah. I don't even know how to like explain it.
I cried reading that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she's like, and you wonder, because there's so much, you know, thinning of the veil in these series where it's like, they can talk to people who are dead and they can summon people who are dead. Yes. So it's like, sometimes you don't know, like, was she really there or was that in Aelin's mind?
Right.
And it was like what her mother would have done.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been both, either. And there was one time earlier that she fought back. So after Maeve makes Connell kill himself, remember, she's like forced to kneel in that broken glass.
Oh, in the glass. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that like was one of the worst torture things for me. Like, I'm just picturing all the glass grinding into her as she's like kneeling and he's pushing her down. Ugh. But she like stabs Karen in the neck with the shard of glass and then whips one at Maeve and it misses her, but it scrapes her cheek. And just for a second, Aelin thinks she sees black blood. And indeed she does, but she doesn't know if like that was real or not.
Right. 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 Well, yeah, she's literally questioning everything. What's real? She is. What's not real.
Yeah. And so it's like another 100-something pages before she does her other escape attempt. And so it's Maeve is gone. They're in this war camp. And she gets away and Fenris really enables it because he breaks out of his blood oath to fight Cairn.
Yes.
So that Aelin can get away.
Yes. Which like that whole scene, I'm just like how powerful, like his hatred for Maeve and love for Aelin, right? Like as a, not like love, but like love.
Oh, yeah.
Friend love.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is like.
Yeah.
So strong that he's actually able to break that oath,
which no one thought you could do. No,
right. Amazing.
Yeah. And it was going to, it would have killed him.
Right. Exactly.
She does save him, but he's able to fight off Karen and essentially like not, they're both unconscious.
Yeah. What page is that? You have it there.
That fight is page 241.
Oh, that's right. 243. Okay. I have it marked.
Is where he breaks the blood oath. And so Aelin gets out and she's like in her shift. She still has the iron mask on and the like gauntlets and she's just running. But she can barely even walk at first. Right. Like they're healing her, but they can't keep up with all of her strength. Right. And she's been captive for months now. So she's escaping and she actually like fights off these guys that are coming for her as she's like running through the camp. Like that is some badass descriptions of her fighting.
Yes.
And gets away and it's Lorcan who finds her first. So it just worked out so well that they were there to rescue her, like right at the same time that she is escaping and help her to get out of there. And then she's just like, the first thing that she can say is Fenris. So they go back in to get him and, you know, little act of vengeance.
Yes. But what I loved is, so does she give Fenris? So she saves Fenris by having him take the blood oath.
Yes.
For her,
and
right?
orders him to live.
Yes. Which like, oh, again.
Yeah. That's page 269.
Okay. So is that before? Oh, I'm like literally right.
That is after. So they've had to go in to get Fenris. So Lorcan and...
That before or after
Gavriel and Rowan have gone in there to get Fenris, and so Gavriel is trying to do like sort of, you know, field medicine, his version of that, like whatever healing he can do to keep him alive. Meanwhile, Rowan deals with Cairn.
Yes, and he goes heal him, right? So he heals Cairn, right? Gavriel heals Cairn.
He says,
heal him, Rowan said with lethal softness. The lion looked up and found that Rowan's gaze was no longer on the wolf, but on Cairn.
Just to wake him up enough so that he can kill him.
I thought just to wake him up. Right. Well, just to wake him up enough to torture him.
To death. I mean, he skins him.
It's exactly. Which I was like, that's right.
Yeah, I know. I like not feel bad about that.
Not at all. I was like, Rowan. You're right. You skin him like a fucking cat. I hated that guy so much.
There's a couple characters who get their comeuppance in this book, and it is wonderful to see.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Enjoyed that thoroughly. It's like, that's
right. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's where they finally reunite. So that's all happening like chapter like 30, 31 ish around there. Mm-hmm. And then in 31 is where Fenris swears the blood oath to. He can't even do anything, right? Like he just.
No, but the other thing, hold on, we just skipped over is when she, this whole part made me like just teary eyed. When she wants the metal gauntlets and the mask.
Oh,
right. And she's like, take it off. Yes. And so
the audiobook of that part is so distressing. Like the voice that she does, it's like just broken, like take it off, over and over and over.
And so they remove it by.
They use the word marks.
Word mark. Right. Which
she can't even really talk, but she traces it. Right. Yes. So she's telling them, you know, because they're like, was there a key? Did you ever see Maeve use a key to get, they can't figure out how to get it off.
Yes. This whole thing.
And then so she like draws them. Yeah.
Man, that is love. Skin a man for. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love Rowan. Okay. But yes.
Yeah. That's like 263.
Yes.
And then where they get a good look at her and realize like that all her scars, her tattoos, all of it is gone.
Yes.
And they can guess why.
Yes. Not a mark, not a callus, not a single scar. Yes. Even the, even Rowan's,
mating
the bite mark
claiming
she gets
mark
back, you know, but
they arranged, they get that back, but that was like the last thing to go because it was like the strongest scar that she bore has the most amount of meaning attached to it,
right?
Oh my gosh, like that whole scene, and it's as you said already, it's not all good after that. Like Aelin is still isn't talking much. She's quite broken.
Well,
so
right,
is Fenris.
Wait, after that is when she does the blood oath. And that's another, again, like that whole scene is just, even Lorcan, he's like, I don't believe it, right? Because he was basically dying. And then she brings him back.
And she puts that first, she like goes to him and is like petting him, essentially, stroking his side, but puts this like fire around herself.
Yes.
Right. And then around him too. Like they are in this together and they're sort of put a boundary between them and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even hear what she's saying to him. Like,
which I love.
Rowan's POV here. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that because it's like a private moment. Obviously, they don't know what the two of them have gone through together in these past, couple months or whatever it is. And obviously, they've been through a lot. I mean, they've both been tortured physically and mentally or both. Mm-hmm. Right. So I like that was private and that we don't know what was said because I feel like that is just for them, you know? Yep. And
I like that too.
Yeah. They have this special relationship. But then after all that, we get the little folk again. I love
it. Yeah. Well, we get right after the blood oath and when Fenris stands up and Aelin's on her knees and then Fenris like bows to her.
Yes.
And then Rowan says, welcome to the court, pup.
Yeah, pup. Yeah.
I love that. And then, yes, the little folk help them get out of there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Loved it.
Yeah. So they get it eventually to this cave.
That's right. Oh, that creepy cave where like they were inside of it for days, right? And they couldn't.
Yeah. Long time. Anything? Do you know what it reminded me of? Like all the passageways in ACOTAR that go between the courts and where it's like you can go like big distances in a short amount of time. Because they're like, there's no record of like a tunnel that should be able to lead us from here to here and under these mountain ranges and all this stuff. But that's what they do.
The other thing I thought of was, did you ever go on the Avatar River, the Navi River?
Yeah.
Journey?
Yeah. So oh, it looks like that. Yeah.
But without the bioluminescence glow. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like dark, but you're in a boat and just like, you know,
just
you don't know
getting towed along. You just have to sit there and be patient.
But then they find, I loved this part too, and all the meaning that comes into this later on. They find like all of the, swords and gold and whatever else.
Oh, the treasure. Yeah. Because they go into the thing that they, again, from Air of Fire, mm-hmm. there was like those wraith things that were in the tombs.
Yes, the creepy ones.
And they have, and they have all this accumulated wealth that they take from the other tombs that people have been buried with.
Yes.
And that's where they get their
wedding rings. I loved that. Yeah. Anyway.
That's on page 326. And okay. I like where he's like, I think so is the sparkly emerald one for me.
Yeah. yes. But I love
they're that. So cute. Yeah. So that's a little bit after they that she has that lake bit, right? Where she finally starts to talk to Rowan, like, and it just goes in that super cold lake, remember? And she's just like letting out her magic. Scene. She keeps going under the water to like let it out, and then comes up and like is asking him questions like, how long has it been? And all of that. And by the time we get to the part where they exchange rings, she's like becoming a little more, or at least it seems to be like outward appearance, a bit more coming to herself.
Yes.
But they do that. I love, it's the classic line from this series between them, the to whatever end.
Yes. And like, I just got a sticker for my Kindle that says to whatever end.
I love it.
I got quite a few. I got one with a sword that says you do not yield, and then
love it.
I got the to whatever end. Oh, anyway, I just love them.
It's so nice.
It is.
Yeah. And it's not that long after that when they're traveling, through under the mountain and all of that stuff and talking about finally they're talking and realize like she knew a long time ago that they were mates. He didn't.
Yes.
Because he believed that he previously had one and that it was Maeve had like got into his head.
Right.
Aelin is like, yeah, Maeve showed me like what could have been if that hadn't happened. Like, you know, you would have come as an emissary to the court. We would have fallen in love, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but that's actually, I don't want that, you know, because the male I fell in love with is you who have been through all that stuff,
right.
and you love me who has been through, like, they would have been different people, right?
Yes.
And they still would have been mates, but she's like, you know, it was all worth it. I'm glad we are where we are basically.
Oh yes, I have that page marked.
But she's like, it was torture. She's like, I didn't know. So when they were in Wendland, so Air of Fire, training at Mistward, she's like, I wondered for months and months, I wondered, why weren't you my mate? It tore me up wondering, and I still did all this time. I wanted it to be you. Sorry, that's him saying that, because he doesn't understand. He's so drawn to her, and explains, remember when they were so brutal with each other?
Yes.
They were both basically fighting this, like, this tug that they couldn't figure out why they had it, and so they were expressing it with like violence at times. Like, that's why he bit her,
right
and they were having those brawls and all of that. Like, he was so conflicted because he shouldn't be feeling that, and it was making him angry that he wanted her so badly. Meanwhile, she wanted him. That whole discussion is like very, what's the word, it's romantic, and but like in
it's
a
romantic, and then they do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she goes, I'm ready to be kissed again, Prince.
Yep. Ugh, and I love it. You're my mate.
Yep.
And I am yours. Oh, so good. And then Rowan thrust into her. Okay.
Thrust into her. In a mighty stroke as
and
he plunged his
teeth into the side of her neck.
Yeah. Brutal. The Fae are not gentle lovers.
That's okay. Listen,
they're very animalistic.
We learned this in Akatar and Silver.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Do not confuse them with humans.
No. It's fine. Wingspan matters in Akatar.
Wingspan matters. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And in this, what would it be? I don't know.
Maybe
their power.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, Rowan's like
the most
powerful male fae, right?
The most powerful royal, and Lorcan's the most powerful, not.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like.
Or demi fae. He's the most powerful demi fae.
Right. When you have that much power, I mean, you're probably good at certain things.
Hmm. Yep. I think also when you've had a lot of time to practice.
True.
You know? I mean, like he had a mate, but he also then has had dalliances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's learned a thing or two.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we end up with all of them. And then we get to a reunion. So let's talk about Kale and Irene and where they've been during all this time. Okay. And then before they meet up with Aelin and them.
Yes.
Okay. So they've been coming north. Mm-hmm. We find out in the very beginning. So they're married.
Love it.
Kale and Irene. lots of little jokes about spending time in bed. Mm-hmm. And we also find out that Nezrin and Sartak have been enjoying each other. Mm-hmm. They've been sharing a bed on the voyage north. They're traveling with some of the other royals, and Falcon NR is with them as well. And they're heading to Aniel because they've heard that Morath is going there to attack. Mm-hmm. So that's like Kale's ancestral home, basically to warn them that Morath is going there to attack. So they're going to try and get there first and help them to fight. And they don't get the greatest reception, but I am so impressed with Irene, the way, like, right from the very first meeting, how she stands up to mm-hmm. his dad.
I love her.
Hey, page 172. I love her too.
Yes. Yeah.
Page 172 is where they're like,
it's because she's a nurse. I'm telling you, nurses don't take shit. Just don't.
She also had a really good lesson in standing up for herself from Aelin, aka Selena.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of set her on a path.
Yes.
That has only continued and continued as she gained knowledge and self-confidence. Yes. But she is, he sticks up for her because he's kind of the dad. Lord Westphal is like, you know, you had a chance. I heard that, you know, the assassin turned out to be Aelin Galathinius. Like, you could have had her. And he's like, listen, my wife is the finest healer of a generation. Her worth is more than any crown. And Irene's like, don't even bother. Like, I don't have to prove myself to him. I know precisely how talented I am. I don't need his blessing.
Yeah. She's like, I don't need that.
Yeah. And so Irene is just really like straight talking with him. And by the end, he actually is kind of like impressed with her, which she doesn't care about at all. But he's like, maybe you'll actually breed some backbone into this family again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And speaking of breeding, Irene is Prego.
I love it.
I don't know how Kale doesn't notice, because it's like they've been together every single day.
Well, I know, but I think
how did you not notice that she never got a period, right? Like, she's human, she's getting monthly periods. Yes. She doesn't get it.
But as we know, Kale
is a little dense.
Just a little. I mean, and listen, so is my husband. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I can say that. Like, he just might not have noticed. Maybe he's just too busy.
He certainly didn't. He was too excited, sharing her bed every night to notice that. But it's actually like the dad that tells him, like, you know, your wife's pregnant, right?
Yeah. I love how I think I had this one marked too, where she said, like, she flat out says, like, don't you talk to him like that. Love this, right? And then she goes into this whole little, like, spiel, right? Your son spent the last several months forging an alliance, blah, 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 and all these things. So while you sit here in your miserable keep, which I also love how she constantly makes comments about how, like, shitty the keep is.
Sounds terrible. It's, like, all disrepair, and he's, like, he won't spend money on anything unless it's broken.
Yeah. And like, tossing insults at him, know that he has done what no other could do. And if your city survives, it will be because of him, not you. I just love how, like, she just, you know, doesn't give a shit. Yep. Love it. But yes. And then it's funny, because when they do finally meet up with Aelin, then it's like Irene and Aelin are both going back and forth about how shitty it is. You know what I mean? So it's just, anyway.
Yeah. So that's page 404. So that's where they all meet up again at Aniel. Mm-hmm. So they're like, there's someone here to see you. And it's Aelin walks in. Mm-hmm. And she is just absolutely, Nezrin is like, holy gods. And Kale says, I thought you were in Terrasen, because Lysandra has been up there all this time, like, shapeshifting to look like Aelin.
Oh, yeah. I have that marked.
And Aelin just comes in and is like crying because Kale's walking.
Yes. Right?
So the last she knew, he was going down to try to be healed at the Torre Chesme. So she is so relieved about that. And that's where her and Irene get to see each other again for the first time.
Yeah, she shows her the note.
The note. Oh my gosh. She has to keep it.
Yeah.
Aelin has to keep it. She's like, no, and Kale's like, no longer Irene Towers, Irene Westfall.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, then let me introduce you, Lady Westfall, to my mm-hmm. own husband, Prince yes. Rowan Whitethorn Galathinius. I like that they use each other's names.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Switchy yeah. switch back and forth. My mate. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just all, it's just lovely. They're all just happy for each other. There's yes. no like weirdness. There's no tension because like they used to be lovers and
right.
he used to be a dick. She's just like happy for him. And yes. he has had a lot of growth. Like, remember what? Well, you were not a fan of his for a long time.
No, I wasn't. You know? But Irene is a huge part in his growth. Right. And so. Yeah. I love that, like, Aelin and Irene just automatically, you know, like, have this bond. And yes, everyone's just like, oh, it was such a good, yeah, the whole thing. And then, of course, we haven't chatted Dorian and Manon yet, but that's like a whole other thing.
Well,
like,
yeah, they're next.
We'll get there.
We'll get there next. But the reunion, like, we now got all these strong women coming back together, right? So, like, there's yes. the reunion, Irene and Aelin. Then we get Aelin and Nezrin.
Mm-hmm.
And... Yes. You know, Nezrin's there with Sartak. So Aelin's like, I need to hear this whole story.
That's where we find out, like, Fenris's last
name. Later.
Where she's like, Fenris.
Oh, yeah, because he's introducing. Sure yeah. yeah.
And he's like, Moonbeam. And then I love how Aelin's like, it is not.
Yeah. You can just see her like trying not to laugh.
Yes. Yes.
And okay. Hasar is with them. And yes. Aelin's like, so you got my letter? And she's like, perhaps. Far too yeah. many letters from fellow princesses this day to possibly yeah. remember or answer them all. Like
yeah.
they're just like got they're the first time meeting and they just like have the beat on each other right away.
Mm-hmm.
This like sassy. I feel like
that's Aelin with most of the women though, right?
Yeah, like, that's all, true. All that's how she is with Ansel.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Love it.
Totally. Just, she's like, yeah. hey, bitch.
Yeah, right. Like, oh,
like in the best way.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, I did love that. Loved that reunion.
That scene is so lovely. And then at the very end of that chapter, Aelin's like, okay, well, that's all over and done with.
Yeah.
Shall we discuss where we all plan to march once we beat the living shit out of this army?
Yeah, I love that too. Yes.
So then they have a battle. So the Battle of Aniel. So when they're doing that reunion too, Kale's like, Dorian?
Yes.
And yes. so she's like, not with us, but he's with Manon and they're looking for something very important. The two.
Yes.
So let's yes. talk about them.
Well, okay. And then come back to the battle. Right.
Well, we can do it whichever way. We kind of end this section with the battle. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's true. Oh, got it. Okay. All right. Yes. Good point. Okay. So yes. So he now asks, right. So Kale, Irene, yes. All of them, Nezrin, Sartek, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So now everyone's in Aniel. I'm just trying to think, yeah. did we like miss any? I feel like there's so much in this book. Like, I'm sure we've missed, and then it bounces around so much. That's where
it
I'm
bounces
like...
around. So stuff we miss, we can always come back when we do part two. Like, we didn't talk about Aiden and Lysandre yet either. There is a ton of them in here, but I don't really feel like there's a ton to say about them, except that they're sort of in the north
right now.
He's been such a dick to her when he kicks her out in the snow.
That I was so angry.
Yeah.
That. And then, well, I think is it in part two where she comes back and is like, you did like, you know, but I was like, you piece of shit.
Yeah, he is so angry at Lysandre, and like, he's angry at Aelin, but she's not there. So he's taking right. all of it out on Lysandre for that plan that they formulated mm-hmm. without him, basically mm-hmm. for her to pretend to be Aelin. And like, for the long term, they had this potential plan, right? Yeah.
I think he's just mad. So he's out of the planning. Do you know what I'm saying? And
and he's also holding on to this weird thing about learning who his father was. And, you know, he was kicked out as like general. Well, at least they tried to kick him out as general of the army. Took away his sword, like stupid Darrow and the other lords. So there's a lot of stuff with them, but it's mostly just them like fighting little battles as they try and work their way towards Orinth,
mm-hmm.
like the capital city of Terrasen. Mm-hmm. So I think we can just kind of leave them for now and pick up with them in part two.
Okay. He's being a dick right now.
He's being a dick. And the main thing that happens with them that we see in terms of those battles is the Witch Tower. We see what Manon's grandmother was working on. So they're one of those battles sort of towards the end of this part with them, that they we figure out that it's this big movable, mm-hmm. almost like a catapult, but it's a big tall tower. And essentially a witch will jump down in the middle of it. It's all mirrors. Mm-hmm. And the only power that these witches actually have is called the yielding. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially they can kill themselves with the power inside them, and it creates this big blast explosion.
Right. So
by putting them, they jump down this thing of mirrors, they can like focus that power yeah. and like blast something. It's like the Death Star. Okay. Star Wars.
I did have a hard time following some of the things like this where I was like, okay, wait, trying to like envision it.
Picture you know? It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I picture it like a, almost like a water tower, but then like okay. climb up to the top and then like down, there's like a tunnel down the middle of it. Yep. Like a, what are those things called? You build in your, like a sun tunnel. Is that what it's called in a house where it's like a skylight, but there's mirrors all the way up to like bring the light down into a house. Do you guys have those down there?
Something. I have heard of this, but I don't know. Like I have skylights, but I don't.
Yeah. We have those here. So they just help to bring the light in down further. Okay. So it's, that's what I picture.
Okay.
But just a really, really long one. And that takes out a bunch of Ansel's guys, Ansel's army. So she's really upset. Yeah. So she's with them, as are some of like Rowan's cousins, the Fey mm-hmm. Royals, Galen, Ash River. Those ones, they're all up in the north fighting. And we should talk about the other one, surprise return character that's with them as well. Nox.
Yes.
Nox Owen.
Yes. I was like, hey.
Like
anytime like something like that would come back around.
Yeah. So he was from Throne of Glass. He was in the competition for to be King's Champion with Aelin. They kind of helped each other along. She saved his life. She warned him to like get out of Dodge. Yeah. And he did. And we find out here he was actually a spy for the rebels already then, like way back then. He's from Paranth, which is where Elite is from.
Yep.
Yeah. In Tarrasen. And now he's been working for Darrow, but he kind of switches over to be for Adian instead. He helps them. He drugs all the lords so they can sneak the army out of there and do what they want to do instead of letting these stupid lords decide.
Right. Right.
And command them.
Yes.
That was really nice to see. I was happy to see
it. It was a good little reunion there. Okay. So then. That's
so then.
So yeah. Let's go back to.
Dorian.
This is another one where I feel like a novella could happen. Because
I would love it.
Are not real. Like, I know we're talking part one, but even like
part two,
we're
not.
End of the book. Yeah. Like, that was my first thing. I said, wait, but I want more Dorian. Like,
I know.
You know what I mean?
But what Dorian happens?
Amidon. Right.
What
so
happens?
I'm just going to hope that maybe.
I need like 10 epilogues.
Yes. I need to know. Like, I feel like he has not fully gotten his happy ending.
Nope.
And
yet.
Of all the people, he is who I wanted to have a happy ending. So I'm like, come on.
I mean, he ends up being one of my very favorite characters.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely love him.
Start, which is why I'm like.
And he gets even better as he gets like sort of leans into this more brutal side.
Uh-huh. Love him.
So him and Manon are fire together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he is traveling with the 13. They are looking for his goal is to find the two word keys. Her goal is to find the Krokans and then rally them for war, try and bring them to the cause.
Yes.
So as they're traveling and looking for clues as to where the Krokans can be, they're, you know, sharing a bed every night, tangling, as they call it. There's this one quote, their couplings were brief, savage, teeth and nails and snarling, and not just from Manon.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Dorian's got the power, right? So he can that around. He reminds me of Az.
Yes.
Like,
he's
I feel
got
like
shadow hands.
Yes. If and when we get Azrael's story, like there's gonna be some dirty stuff with shadows, you know?
Yep.
So anyway, get
it's like
the vibe I get with Dorian.
It's like Zayden too. From Fourth Wing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
With the shadow
something
hands.
With the shadows. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm really hot about that. Anyway, so yes, they are they're getting it on.
They are. And so Dorian's sort of like quietly going along with where the 13 are going, but his goal really is to find these two word keys. And so he like summons Gavin Haveliard, like his many times ancestor, Elena's husband. And it's Gavin that tells him the last key is at Morath. So he figures out that that's where he has to go. And I loved during that part when he summons Gavin and Gavin tells him that his sword, Damaris. Oh shoot, I don't think I have the page.
I probably have it marked. I know.
But he has that truth-telling sword, right?
Yes. Oh, and
speaking of Asriel, like Asriel's dagger is literally called, or his sword is called Truth-Teller. And we were just talking about the other similarities. Uh-huh. And Gavin tells him Gavin is like sworn allegiance to this one god called the All-Seeing One.
Mm-hmm.
How much does that sound like As, with all his shadows whispering everything to him, the All-Seeing One? And then he talks about how that god is, that god is different from all the other gods in this book. It's different. And I marked some stuff that we'll talk about later, like when we're doing part two and stuff, I think. But it was just a lot of similarities there. And I was like, oh, what is this that's happening here? Is there more connection here that we're going to find out later?
I really hope so.
I hope so. It's just too many similarities for there not to be some reason for it, you know?
Way too many.
And we also get, so Dorian is practicing his power and he learns that because he has this raw magic, he can do basically anything. He just has to learn it. And so he starts learning how to shapeshift.
Yes.
And it's so cute because at first he just tries to like change the color of his eyes or whatever. And he finally does change his eyes to brown. And then like Astrin and Vesta are like teasing him, like, what happened to your pretty bluebell eyes?
Yeah. Yes. I do love his relationship with the 13. Like, all, you know.
Yeah. And then he finally shapeshifts into a woman. That scene.
Yes.
Where he's like, if he had more time, he's like, he already knows how to make a woman purr with pleasure. But if he had more time, he would kind of investigate that body a little bit and see how things actually felt.
Did I text you that part?
Yes, you did.
I think I did, being like, okay.
Page 464, he thought he knew everything about the female body, how to make a woman purr with pleasure. He was half tempted to find a tent and learn firsthand what certain things felt like. Not an effective use of his time. Not with the camp readying for travel.
I have that whole part right here. Because it just made me laugh.
Manon recognizes him even through that shapeshifting. She's like, he walks past her and she's like, she's like, I'm surprised you're not groping yourself. He's like, who says I haven't already?
Yes, it just made me, oh my gosh, it just made me laugh. Because he's just like a, I don't know, that's just where like his playboy silliness comes in. Do you know what I mean? That I loved from which one, Throne of Glass or
Throne of Glass.
When
him and Aelin are kind of like,
I just love him.
Kissy kissing.
So funny.
Yeah. I really like their relationship. They just like are so straight with each other and they're getting something that they each need from each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's exploring his harder side through her and she's exploring a softer side through him.
Oh, that's a great way of putting it. Yes. Cause Manon develops quite some emotions in this
book. Oh my gosh. Like I didn't do this on purpose, but I think we basically have her as the last person we haven't really talked about at all. Manon almost has the biggest character arc of anyone in this part.
1,000%.
She has so much growth. Like, remember her from when we first met her to where she is at the end of this. Like, she almost hates emotion.
Let's just start with
that.
And
she almost hates it because it's really, it's not that easy to feel so much.
No, it's not. As we know, it's easier to just be dead inside and not have any emotions. But yes, she, I mean, we see first off, her emotions towards Dorian, right? She's never, right? Because even, I don't remember which book it was, but when she's talking to Astrin about like actually like being in love with someone, you know, like.
Yeah, that's like, and she gets to the point where when she figures out that Dorian is going to go to Morath, she's so mad at him.
Yeah.
Because she's scared. that she's going to lose him, and eventually does ask him to stay and even proposes a marriage alliance.
Yes. Which I was,
but he realizes, I know. Ooh. Well, I think she makes that slip of like Freudian slip there where she calls it sacrifice. And he's like, like he knew that he's like, you don't want that. Like, you don't want to be tied to one man. You don't want to be tied to anyone and blah, blah, blah. They have a real awesome steamy scene there. That's like their farewell. And then he kind of ducks out during the night. She wakes up alone. But that scene is so
hold
good.
On. Let's go to that scene.
That's like 5:38-ish.
That one marked.
5:35 is like where they start. You know what? Like, what if I asked you marked? To stay?
I think I have it marked on my Kindle because this is where
You were reading on vacation.
Let's go over to the Kindle and see everything I highlighted over there. Yep. Yes.
She says, and if I asked you to stay, he says, I'd need a very convincing reason, I suppose. Meanwhile, they're undressing each other. And she says, because I don't want you to go. And they face each other like sort of half naked. And then she proposes the alliance between Otterlin and the Krokins and any Iron Teeth who might follow me. An alliance between you and me. And he says, you don't want that. You would never want to be shackled to any man like that. He could see the truth in her beautiful face that she agreed with him, but she shakes her head. But then she says, Aelin is willing to die to end this conflict. Why should she bear the brunt of sacrifice? And there it was, her answer, though he knew she didn't realize it. Sacrifice. Yeah. So he's not going to do something that she's going to view, however, whatever size of part of her feels that this would be a sacrifice. He just doesn't want that, right? So,
I love how she says, this part was big. You were right. She said quietly, I am afraid. I'm afraid that you will go into Morath and return as something I do not know, something I shall have to kill. You know? So yes, like I think it's huge that she can even admit that.
Yes.
Would you stay here? Right. If we had this alliance, but anyway, as we know, he doesn't, they do it.
He gets her to keep on with her crown. Yeah. Yep. We didn't talk about that, but she got the crown because she killed the Yellow Legs matron and got the crown back. That's the Krokin crown. And,
every thrust into her, Manon answered with a rolling, demanding movement of her own. Stay. Ugh.
The word echoed in each breath.
Ugh. It is just a very, powerful scene, but yes, it broke my heart when
she wakes up and he's gone and he's taken the two word keys and gone to Morath.
Yeah, but he had to, because if not
he
goes. Okay, yeah, so now she's,
so they find the Krokins.
Yes,
before this point.
Yes. Right, and then we meet Glennis and Bronwyn, is that how you're saying?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's how I'm saying him. Yeah. Okay. So her great grandmother, and then her, I mean, it's probably like second or third cousin or something, but her closest cousin.
And they're they're iffy about her, except for Glennis. Glennis is like,
she's very welcoming right from the start. Yeah. She knows who she is.
You know, who are you? And she kind of has to like earn their respect.
Yeah, she's known for being one of the most brutal. So she has killed how many Krokins in the last 100 years, you know, like, so it's pretty, they're wary of her, but they don't even know it. But she actually led those Iron Teeth there to sort of like prove herself to the Krokins. Remember, she like left and then essentially made it so, you know, they would follow her trail and it would lead back to them, so that she could fight them off. Which she does do, her and the 13, they defeat them. But she does it to build trust. It's like this dishonest thing that she does to build trust. Dorian realizes it with Truth Teller. Well, not Truth Teller. It's Damaris.
Now we're going to get them all confused.
The truth telling sword. Because it goes cold, right?
Yes.
Is it warm when someone's telling the truth and cold when they're lying? But I like this part on page 227 where she's like, realizes, you know, she knows that he knows, and he knows that she knows that he knows.
Yeah. Like from friends. Yeah, totally. I know you know, we know either. They.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know what I know? But he says to her, like, she's like, you know, I did this. And so 8 Krokins died because of this thing that she did. He said, that fact will always remain. It's how you make it count now that matters. And a little bit later, they get to Ilwe and find the remains of this Ilwe warband and some Krokans that were killed. And is it Bronwyn that says to her, like, you did this, like, you trained the witches that did this and killed all these people. And so she starts digging by hand graves for them.
That's right.
And a few others try to help. And she's like, no, just me and the 13. We will bury them all. And they do it like by hand digging. Yeah. That was a really powerful scene, I thought.
I thought so too. Yeah. I feel like she knows again, part of her character arc is she knows where she messed up and then is making good, not making good on it, but you know what I'm saying?
Trying to be better. She's trying to be better.
She's trying to be better. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
When she goes to the Farian Gap to try and convince the other Iron Teeth, she tells them the truth. That's page 365. It is time that we became better than our foremothers. There is a better world out there and I will fight for it. Will you? And we don't get any, like, we don't find out. No one has come. No one has gone with her. But they have that information now that basically they've been lied to about what they are and what they could be. And shortly after that is when she has the fight with the High Witches. That would be a cool visual, eh? Like her against three High Witches. That's like page 474. And she's just like, Dorian is like amazed. She is like whirling and jumping and stabbing and
Dorian had never seen fighting like what unfolded. Yes. She is a badass.
Yeah. Her and well, remember when her and Aelin were fighting each other? Like they're so amazing. I would just love to see any kind of like fight scene with them.
Yeah.
Visually me too. Would look so cool. They'd have to do like a CGI kind of thing where they make them like moving so fast they're like a blur.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right? I picture it like winnowing, but not really, but like just like that quick.
Yeah, so fast. You know? Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
So she kills the yellow legs matron there. She lets the blue blood matron, so Petra's mother, go. And then she fights her grandmother and her grandmother essentially runs away at the end. And then we get the scene where finally Tarison calls for aid. Aelin has asked, who does she ask? Is it Ren? She asked to formally call for aid. But they get the word from a messenger that this has happened.
Yes.
And Manon is like, I will go. I will help them basically. And all the Krokan, all the little covens start saying, I will go, I will fight, I will fight. So it's like the summoning the witches to war.
Is that when they light their fires?
Yeah.
Page
559.
Yes. They say queen of, well, I love how on 480, they say queen of witches, you know, to Manon. But yes, I did love that when they summon and then all of them are lighting their little, I'm blanking on what it's called, but you know what
it's the flame of war.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And it's an immortal flame. So it flared when she like had that fight with the High Witches. So that's why they finally like acknowledged her, because when she put the crown on, remember, it like lit up and then the flame flared.
Yes.
The flame flared.
Yes.
But it's like your queen summons you to war and she touches her flame to Bronwyn's hearth and then goes. So it's like hearth to hearth to hearth to hearth. I love this part. So on page 561. So this reminds me a lot of in, I know you haven't seen it, but in Lord of the Rings, there's a scene where where one kingdom calls for aid, just like this. And they have this system of like beacons that are fires. And so it's like, and you just see it go from here to here across mountains, across kingdoms. Like it's exactly what I picture here. So page 561, hearth to hearth, the flame of war went. Over snow-blasted mountains and amongst the trees of tangled forests, hiding from the enemies that prowled the skies. Through long, bitterly cold nights where the wind howled as it tried to wipe out any trace of that flame. But the wind did not succeed, not against the flame of the queen. So hearth to hearth it went. To remote villages where people screamed and scattered as a young-faced woman descended from the skies on a broom, waving her torch high. Not to signal them, but the few women who did not run. And so it's like, then you get all the women who have been hiding in plain sight.
Loved that. Yes. They're like, which is so cool. I would have loved to see that. Yeah, right.
They're
going to the trunks and the brooms left in the closet. Yeah. Like so neat.
Swords that have been hidden and all this stuff. And they are like coming, they're answering the summons. And the very end of that chapter, like fly, fly, fly to the queen, to war.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
This is like, such a cool.
That would be so awesome to see play out on screen. Yeah. Cause I'm just picturing like these little villages where everyone's like la di da di da, you know, like no one knows.
And then all of a sudden, like your wife, like, you find out your wife's a witch.
yeah, exactly.
She's like, see you, honey. The queen called. I gotta go.
Wide-eyed. Yeah, exactly. Bye. I'm out. time. So I just, so cool.
Yeah, I love that. So where we kind of, that's almost the end of part one. Where we end up is, oh, no, we have to talk about the Battle of Aniel.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
So where we end up is right after this battle. So the armies of Morath do come, they fight, they do win, the good guys win, but there's a dam at the other side of the city.
Yes.
And it breaks, and essentially a whole ton of, especially the Coggins armies, are just going to be killed in this massive wave as it like washes over the plains in front of Aniel. There's not enough room in the keep for everybody. Not everyone can even make it there in time.
Right.
So we have a couple things that happen really quickly. One, we get Elide being a badass again. She like rides out there knowing she might die because Lorcan hasn't come back.
Right.
So she goes out and on Kael's horse and saves him, like finds him, gets him onto the horse
too. But hold on, there's also like symbolism with that horse, right?
The horse named Butterfly.
Yes, but hold on, where's the, what page is that? Do you have that marked down?
That is page 520.
Okay, so the horse, when she's saving him, Butterfly. But she said, hold on, there was like a whole thing with that horse, right? Farasha is the horse's name. Is that my saying that right?
Yeah. At which part, when she first gets on it, or when she gets it to
after? But Kael, Hela. Oh, this part. Hellas guards Lorcan. Murmured, and Anieth. Am I saying that right? His consort watches over Elide. Perhaps they will find each other. And then Kael says, Hela's horse. And then they turn to him and he says, I call Farasha Hela's horse. I've done so from the moment I met her.
Right.
I just thought that was like so cool. Do you know what I mean? And like, as if meeting that horse, bringing her here was not as much for him as it was for this desperate race across an endless battlefield. Irene clasped his hand like she understood too. Like, I just thought that was so, you know, like something so minor, but not right. Like, and so now she's on this horse, you know, like just screaming for him, you know, and then finds him. Right. And I'm just poor Elide. And I just always picture like her.
And she's like this little girl with this like broken, twisted foot with the bones scraping against each other. And she like gets him on this horse.
And she's screaming, get up. Right. Like, get up. I'm just picturing her like, you know, like.
Yep.
So good.
And before they get back, he like tries to like get like drop off. He's like, I love you. But like, you know, you're not going to make it without me. I'm like, dude, she wouldn't even be out there if it wasn't like to find you. So now make it worth it. Like, you got to get back.
I know.
Otherwise, like, what was the point of her even getting out there?
Exactly. Stop working. Okay.
Just hold it here.
I know.
It's pretty amazing, but it works. And she's like, fly, Farasha, fly.
I just thought that was so cool when Kael had that realization, like, wait, what?
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah.
Anyway, that was the worst part.
So while that's happening, as they're like tearing across this plain, trying to get back to the keep before the dam fully breaks and this wave washes over everything, Aelin, they realize, is not on the battlements anymore. She gets dropped off by Borta. So remember Borta?
Her
rook her too, her rook Arcus drops Aelin on the field and she starts running into the path of the wave. So now it now has broken, this wave is coming, and she uses her power to essentially turn it to steam. She has
Of Rowan, right?
She turns it to steam, and he keeps that wall of steam with his wind from because that would like just scald everybody. That wouldn't help either.
Right.
It's like when you're in, you know, a volcanic explosion and it's like the steam that roils out can just that can kill you. Right. Because it's so hot.
Yeah.
So she does that. And Rowan realizes that for 3 months, that whole time that she was confined and she wasn't able to use her magic.
Right. What do they call it? She was,
she's been making the descent into her power.
Yes. Tunneling like, deep, right?
Tunneling.
The,
yeah.
Yes. Whatever the term is that they, that
that's
they
what
use.
It is. Yeah.
And that's why, because they didn't think she had her power anymore.
She hasn't been wanting to use it.
Right. And they were like, nothing's there. But really, she's just been waiting
to.
Yeah.
And used it here instead of saving it for Maeve and Erewhon. But she kind of had to. I mean, this was a, like a huge, not even just the loss of those lives for their own sake, but like in terms of if they're going to win this war, not just this battle, but like the larger sense, they need these people. They need these fighters. So she uses it here and they work together to save it. And stupid Kael's dad is not even... In the end, he's like, not even, he's like, you destroyed half my city. It's like, hello. We also saved everybody.
Oh, that's right. Oh God, he's such an ass. Didn't Irene have another? Oh, wait, but then, okay, hold up. Then that's when Kael realizes his mom's actually been writing him, right?
Yep. Yep. In that, say, in the interaction with his crappy dad.
Yes, but I love how that's right. Okay, wait. Okay, so that's like right at the very
like end. 573. There's a scene where Aelin's there too, and she's like,
"Yes, I see why you left."
Yeah, she's so unimpressed with him.
Yes. Yeah. 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 She's like not sympathetically. I see why you left.
Yeah.
You know, she's just
and
like,
Kael calls his father a bastard.
That's right.
Because they're saying that, you know, that they can get the wild men who Kael's dad has sort of been fighting against and trying to claim territory from these wild men of the mountains. But they would know secret ways that they can get to Orinth. They need to get north now as fast as they can. And so they can make a deal with these guys to find a way to get there faster, but they're going to give them land in exchange. And Kael's dad is like, nope. But Aelin's like, well, you'll just have to override him because you're hand to the king.
Right.
So you actually outrank him.
Right. Exactly. But then also, wait, hold on. We missed that part where in that same bit, that's where we find out that Irene's healing the Valg. Right. And so.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And Aelin's like, can I see
it? Yeah, Aelin, can I see it? And but this also made me laugh. Right. Because Aelin and her companions want a demonstration. OK, not really anything to see. Blah, 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 blah. Right. So then I know Borte is like, it's not very exciting with them tied down, is it?
Yeah.
You know, but yes, please spare me from the tedium of this. And then, yeah, so this is all. That is interesting, right? Aelin's like, okay, good to know, which is key for part two. So
it is.
That's why it's important to call that out. But yes. And then, and human, right? That's where it ends, where they realize once the demon is out, the person,
the human is left, and he's like, thank you.
Yes. But yes. Okay. So that other part, back to the letters. So that's where Kael's like, okay, you won't even give your, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Yeah, you can't. You cannot give a single acre of tripping over my words. You cannot give a single acre of this territory to the wild men. His father hissed, and he's like, "I can and I will."
Yes, and that's where the trunk that had letters written by his mother, and he's like, "How long?" Who? And he thought his mom forgot about him, basically, right?
Yep.
Right. Am I remembering that correctly? Okay. You let her believe I didn't write back. But I also love how, and so then his dad thinks he's going to get him in that, right? You're sentimental.
Yeah.
I love how Kael's just like, keep the letters, you know?
Yep.
Now that
I don't make bargains with bastards.
Yes, exactly. And I'm certainly not going to start with you. So that right there, I was like, okay, finally, like it's again, it's taken Kael some time, but like that right there, it's like, yes. You know what I mean? Like, you're finally just like, F you, you know?
Yep.
But again, I think a lot of that is Irene. I think she's kind of encouraged him because she's very bold and doesn't take shit and, you know, a really good influence on Kale. So I liked that whole part and I loved how everyone was picking on his dad and his dad's just a dick.
Yeah. The whole healing process that Kale went through in Tower of Dawn with Irene went into all the dark and it was like therapy, right? It was like digging into all this stuff. So afterwards, like, he's now a dude who's been through therapy, done some real self-examination, and he's very self-aware now. He is the man that he could have been.
Yes. So but
because of her. Yeah.
Because of her. So love seeing his strength. I love seeing that side of Kale. As we know, I have a soft spot in my heart for him now after Tower of Dawn. He really had a huge character arc in that book. So I'm just proud of him. It's like, you know, it's about time you stick up for yourself. You know,
you did the work.
You did the work. okay.
We love a man who. So it's just after that scene with Kale and his dad that everybody kind of mounts up and heads north. And Aelin has like lets a little bit of her power, like she's glowing essentially as she's like just being a beacon to light their way north. And that's where we end.
Yes. So the only people they're not reunited with are Adian, Lysandra. Where's Falcon? Yeah.
And then
is Falcon with them?
Falcon is with them. Yeah. Because he was with Nezrin and Sartak.
That's right.
And he actually, we didn't talk about this, but he's young again now because Dorian killed Cyrene, who was the spider that took his years. Yes. And so he suddenly became 20 years younger.
Yes. Love it. Good for him.
Yeah. So it's the same spider that. Oh, and we also found out that Abraxos and Nareen, so Astrin's wyvern, are mates.
Oh, yes, which is really cute.
Isn't that so cute? It's like one of the Krokans that tells Manon, and she's like, what? Like, and then the Abraxos just kind of looks at them like, you long enough to figure it out.
I know, yes, yeah.
That had me thinking of Fourth Wing, too, with the mated.
Yes, literally just thought of that. But I think I texted you that. I was like, this one spider is like problematic
everywhere.
Not very smart here and there. So, so glad Falcon's got some youth back in him. But we also don't really touch on Maeve, but we don't so much see Maeve other than, right? It's part two that we really see her in.
Yeah, we just see her in terms of when she's like trying to get Aelin to talk and mainly like.
Right.
Yeah, telling her versions of her story, like her world walking. We find out the whole background. We find out when Nezrin tells, like when they all have that reunion, Nezrin tells them that Maeve is Valg, that whole story.
Right.
So that's when Aelin's like, I thought I saw that black blood.
Yeah.
She had found it out from the spider. The other spider. So at this point now, at the end of part one, they know we haven't seen a lot of Maeve. We haven't seen her at all since Aelin escaped.
Right.
Everyone knows that she's Valg.
Yes.
Well, not everyone, not the people up in the north, but everyone that's traveling together here at the end of part one.
Mm-hmm.
They all know. Yeah. And we get the whole story of like her and the three, you know, kings and how she was married to Orcus and then she escaped them and came to this world and was hiding and blah, 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 all that.
And part two is where shit gets crazy with Maeve.
Super real, super real. Oh my gosh. This is why we had to do this in two parts because this is already a long one. And there's no way we could have talked about this whole thing.
Like, wild. Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why I was glad I downloaded it on my Kindle. Remember I said to you, I was like, okay, I finished part one. So do I stop here and like read something else or do I just keep going? And you were like, oh, maybe I'll stop there and then like read something else. And then I'm like,
you can't.
But I'm glad I did because again, then I was like, holy crap. like things just.
Well, it's just once you get to this point, once you dive into part two, it's like, you can't, you just go.
Right.
It just tumbles the whole thing.
There's so much happening. Yeah. I feel like that brings us to, I mean, obviously I feel like there's way more we could go.
This brings us to intermission.
Yes. Yes. It is real. I will say it is very challenging. Once they all get together, it's like easier to follow because
yeah.
It is crazy. Each chapter bounces right? There's so much bouncing that it's a lot of information.
By the end of this, we're kind of in, well, I guess we're still in four places, aren't we? Because there's like the big group of people here. There's the big group of people in the north. There is Manon and the witches. And then there's Dorian gone off by himself.
Yes. Which I can't wait to talk about that. Because that's Okay. Also, we did get a couple messages on SpeakPipe, but I think I'll play that in part two. So
yeah, let's put them all in part two. Part two is a little bit like the lot happens, but it's a slightly smaller section of the book. So.
Right. And then we can kind of like regroup. We're chatting this as we're recording, but you guys get it. It's very like, it's very off the cuff. Right. So, but yeah, I think, so if you did leave us a message, we'll do that in part two. Cause then we can kind of go back and talk about everything depending on what those messages say, but oof, I just love these characters. I will say I'm just very sad it's over, and I'm really hoping to get, I need her to, well, I know we have the third Crescent City coming out, so I'm interested to see if anything overlaps. And now that's coming out, that tells me that she's probably writing more. So, right? I mean, that already has a publication.
Yeah, I think she's hinted on there being five Crescent Cities.
Oh, so I wonder if it'll be, I don't know.
Or no, four, because there's four houses.
Okay.
But there are, I've been seeing some, you know, people are very resourceful and they are finding like, publication dates for unnamed Sarah J. Maas books to be released like over the next few years.
Listen, people on the internet are smart. Okay.
I know.
So smart. I mean, I told you my TikTok when they announced the cover, my whole TikTok was literally people analyzing the cover of the third.
Yep.
And I was like, whoop. So, which reminds me now,
it was pretty mind blowing stuff too.
It was, but so obviously, yes, we still have to record part two, but at this point I have finished this book. So we do need to jump into the Crescent City series.
Yay!
Soon. We are going to do that. And we are going to record it on here, but as we've mentioned before, we're going to wait so we can like roll right into that third book. And we both bought different versions, did we not? I'm pretty sure I have two versions coming to me.
Ooh, exciting. So, yeah, we had different versions, so they have different like bonus content.
Yes, which I'm excited about. But anyway, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I think that sums up part one.
Yep.
We'll be back with part two.
All
right, stay tuned. You guys know where to find us. You know, over on Patreon, we have so much great content over there. We will link that in the show notes. Thank you to those of you who are already a part of our Patreon. We've got some fun goodies over there for you. And you know where to follow. I'm having a lot of fun on Instagram, by the way, with the
You reels. Are killing it with the reels lately. Oh my gosh.
Very good time. So again, I told you, lip syncing, very useless talent of mine. So
until now, it's become very useful.
So if you're not following us over on Instagram, you can just go over there and see the mess we're making over there.
We're just having fun.
It's so fun. It is very fun. So, okay. All right. That's it. Stay tuned for part two. Thank you guys for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.